Let's turn back to the portion in Philippians that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. I've been especially looking at this book. I've been enjoying some thoughts from it, and especially when you think of the fact of Paul in prison, in a deep, dark, dreary prison dungeon in Rome, and he pens such tremendous words of encouragement and of strength to the believers of Philippi. In his missionary journey, it seems as though this was the first church that was planted in Europe, if we look at his missionary journey in Acts. And I think Paul was very much concerned and for the believers there. We looked at the thought of the stand fast in the Lord, and we looked at some thoughts concerning to be gentle and so on, to be peaceful, and some of the beads that is evidence of one who truly is standing fast in the Lord. I'd just like to look at another phrase in Philippians chapter 1. And verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We see here this phrase found again, as Paul writes, that we're to stand fast in one spirit. We're to stand fast in one spirit. There's many spirits today in the world, isn't there? There are many spirits. And Satan is the originator of the many evil spirits that are in the world. When a child of God accepts the Lord as their Savior, the spirit of man that was dead comes alive, doesn't it? When we were dead in trespasses and sin, spiritually we were dead, being born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But our spirit comes alive, is redeemed, is brought to light through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the work of his shed blood on the cross. And in the body of Christ, there's only one spirit. There ought to be only one spirit. But unfortunately, today, in gatherings of believers, there's many spirits. There's not the spirit of unity, of harmony, and the spirit of togetherness, and the spirit of purpose and together, as there ought to be. Paul says he might stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There can only be one spirit. God can only bless when there's one spirit. You see in business and various organizations that there's many spirits. That there's bickering, disharmony, and backbiting, and things like that go on in the world. And unfortunately, unfortunately, there's many spirits. But for the child of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought to be only one spirit together. There needs to be that sense of harmony and unity together. And Paul writes that we're to stand fast in the one spirit. Now, I'd like to go over to, say, in chapter 1, and in verse 6. We're going to see again a couple of B's that Paul writes, as he writes here. And we see in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're to be confident, aren't we? We're to stand fast in the Spirit. We're to be confident in the fact that God is at work in our life. He's the one that is performing the work. The moment we take the reins in our own hands, we no longer have one spirit. We're not standing fast in the one spirit. When we take control in our own self, in our own ideas, and we want our own will, we're no longer standing fast in the one spirit. It needs to be that God is at work in my life and in your life, isn't he? And he's going to perform it until the day in which we will see him. And what a day that's going to be, when we'll be in his presence. And we'll have a glorious body made like unto his own. But there needs to be a confidence of the fact. We need to be confident of the fact that he's at work in our life. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? Sometimes we forget that it's his work in our lives. He's the one that's performing. And we fail to see that. We need to have that confidence in this very thing, that he's the one who begun the work, and he's going to complete it to the end when we're with him in glory. And ultimately we'll have a body made like unto his own. Paul also refers concerning being confident. Notice in verse 25, and having this confidence. Now, I have to go back in verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul says, if the Lord was to take me home to be with himself, that would be his desire, to be with Christ. But he would rather abide there and to minister to the saints and to encourage the saints. It would be more needful for them if he would abide and continue to minister to them. He was in a strait. And then he says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all, for your furtherance and joy of faith. Paul was looking forward to going to Philippi But at this time, he communicated with them through a letter, through this letter. But he had this confidence within his heart that he would abide and continue to minister to them for your furtherance and the joy of faith. He who started the work within the life of a believer, who began that work, only God himself. God is the one who began the work. And Paul is saying he wanted to see the work go forth. See God at work in the lives of believers there at Philippi, and the evidence of the joy of their faith. That was what Paul was looking forward to in one of the more needful things for you. And the things that brought confidence to him was the encouragement and seeing believers grow and the joy of their faith. That was Paul's desire. So we're to be confident. And the scripture speaks often about being confident. We're living in a changing world, and it speaks to shake the faith of a believer, but we need to be confident in these days. We need to know where we stand in the Word of God. We know that, and we need to know that we stand not on our own thinking or our own ideas. We're to realize that we're standing upon the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord, and this is what the Word of God says. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, we are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether we be present or absent, we might be accepted of him. I think we have the same thought here as Paul writes in Philippians. That if he was to depart from this world, he would be present with the Lord. But his desire was that whether he's absent or present, that he might be accepted of him. That he might be accepted of him. And that ought to be our goal. That we might be accepted of him. Not of those around us. But how are we truly, is that our desire, that we might be accepted of him? That the things that we do and the things that we say and the spirit that we express to others from our heart, is it truly with the desire that might be accepted of God? It as an offering to God from our soul, that we might be accepted of him. Paul says, whether I'm present or absent, my heart's desire is that it might be accepted of him. And that was the confidence that he wanted to have in his life. Now let's go back to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to find another B in verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. We're to be fruitful, aren't we? If we truly are steadfast in one spirit, we're going to be fruitful, aren't we? heart is truly in one accord, we have one mind, we're going to bear fruit. There's different types of fruit in Scripture, and I'm sure as you know, fruit here is the fruit in the life of a believer. It's our growth. It's the fruit that is evidenced through our attitude, the growth within our life, the result of spending time in the Word of God and in prayer before Him, our concern for others, our concern for our own needs. There's fruit that is evident in the life of a believer. And it's great to be able to share with other believers and share different experiences and things that evidences of the fruit that is born forth in the life of a believer. See God at work in our life. To see Him as a result of truly of who He is and what He has done, fruit is brought forth. It's a very sad picture when you go by an orchard and all these trees in a row, and at a time of fruit bearing, there is no fruit. Very sad looking scene. So often in the life of the believer, there's no evidence of real fruit. John 15, the Lord Jesus writes so clearly about the fruit that is to be born. The evidence of truly in one's life is seen by the fruit that is born. And it's so much sadder when there is no fruit in the life of the believer. When there is no evidence that there is life there, that God is at work. Yes, sometimes we have our perhaps a time where we don't grow as much as we ought. Perhaps we can become cold and indifferent. We can become lax in reading the Scriptures as we ought and spending time in His Word. But we need to come back and to realize that God is looking for fruit, and He wants fruit. The evidence in our life. God is at work in the life of the believer. His desire is that we might bear fruit unto the glory and praise of God. Not to any show to man in any way. Not for man's glory or own glory, but it's for the glory of the Lord, isn't it? And for the praise of the Lord. It's only Him that gets the praise and the glory. We have nothing of our own, but He's the one who fills our each and every need. I heard an illustration a couple weeks ago. It was a young man who went to Vietnam and the war, and he became friends with a Vietnamese fellow. The young man was killed when he was over there. But this Vietnamese young man had painted a picture of his friend. And he painted it very carefully. But he had an opportunity to come to this country, and he brought the painting, and he wanted to find this man's father. So he was able to locate him, and he knocked on the door, and father opened the door, He showed him this picture of his son. It was in the father took the picture and was really thrilled that this man would do this and that he was a friend of his son. It was in the father's will that when he died, that this picture would be, the estate would be auctioned off, and the picture would be auctioned with it. And when that came about, when the auctioneer started the auction, and the first item to be auctioned was this picture, he held it up, and no one bid it on the picture. The people were standing around and no interest in the picture. What am I bid for this picture? Finally, in the back, this man raised his hand and says, I bid $10 for the picture. Anyone bid? And the auctioneer says, the bid is over, sold for $10. But the auctioneer went on to say that the father's will was whoever got the picture would get everything. So the auction was over. You see, the point that this man was making when he gave the illustration was that the Lord is everything. And he supplies our each and every need. We don't need other things. We only need him, don't we? The very Son of God who gave his all on the cross of Calvary. And the Father gave his all. He had given him all things in his hand as his son. And he's given all things to us. We see that we are to be confident. We are to be fruitful. Another aspect of being fruitful, and our time is about gone, is in chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul was speaking there in verse 16, for even Thessalonica he sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He wasn't looking so much as the gift that was sent to him, but he was looking at the fruit that would be evident in the life of those believers who saw his need and ministered to him. That's another aspect of fruit, isn't it? And then I think we see the fruit of reward. Paul says in chapter 1 and verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. His bonds was in Christ. It was not in the king or that he looked at the fact that his bonds was in Christ. But no matter how difficult it can be in our life day by day, no matter how difficult, no matter how stressful can come upon us, our bonds are in Christ. They're from him. And they're in him. And I especially enjoy that thought as we see it there. And then Paul says in all the palace, and we know that Caesar Augustus was king at that time, and in chapter 4 and verse 17, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Did Paul have an opportunity to witness to Augustus Caesar, the king of Rome? God use him to see that this man came to know the Lord as his Savior and his household? What a tremendous opportunity for Paul, wasn't it? His bonds was in Christ. And it seems as though that's what Paul is talking about. Notice in verse 21, the verse before, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. There was other brethren there, weren't there? They were with him. And they greet you as well. Interesting, isn't it? As we see Paul there in Rome. Are we really taken up with the thought we're to be steadfast in the Lord? And then the thought of being steadfast in one spirit, having a concerned heart. I've been reading in Samuel concerning David. When David found out that Absalom was dead, when he cried out, my son, Absalom, he poured out his heart. He wept. He mourned for his son, Absalom. And I wonder, do we really have that heartfelt concern for our own life? I wonder, do I? And seeing that God is the one who is working, who started the work and wants to complete it. Oh, how David poured out his heart and he wept for my son Absalom. And I wonder if that same spirit, the one spirit,